coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. It's Thursday, May 14th, 2020. Man, mid-May already. You know, almost half the year gone. Think about that. And think about where we were a year ago, or even 6 months ago at the beginning of the year, or even 6 weeks ago. How things change. You know, some news. I've got a great show to lined up for you today. My guest, Oh my goodness. I've been waiting for this all week. Dr. Michael Lake is with me. I'll be getting, with him in just a moment. He's going to be with me the entire program. And his message is so important. The information he has, his analysis. I'm telling you, one of my favorite people on the planet is Dr. Michael Lake. And of course, his wife, Mary Lou, tremendous people. But in the meantime here, just in the first few moments here, I just want to mention that, things are heating up in a number of different areas. In the geopolitical arena, of course, the war of words and the geopolitical situation between the United States and China is heating up. People should really kind of pay attention to what's going on there. In the international scope, the South China Sea, of course, is an area of concern and tension. But more importantly, the relationship between the United States and China, very, very sour at this point. Second of all, the Obamagate situation is unraveling. The pathological liar of the Obama regime, James Clapper. Well, he's claiming that he doesn't remember why he made the unmasking requests of the 3-star Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. I can't remember. I don't know. I did not gun it. Yeah. You know, he's going to be called to testify. And he said, yeah, I'll testify, but I got to be vaccinated first. You know, I'll testify after I've been vaccinated. I don't want to get the, Chinese party, Chinese Communist Party, virus. What a loon, huh? And speaking of loons, my wife and I were talking last night. She said, come in here. And into the family room and, into the den. I was in the Hagman Mans. I was in the library, and then she called me into the den, the expanse of. It's a joke. Never mind. Anyway, she said, "Take a look at this director of health services here in Pennsylvania. What was her name again? Rachel somebody or other. Used to be Rick, apparently. I don't know." And I'm serious. I'm sorry. It used to be Rick, I think, or, but now it's Rachel. She said, you gotta see this. Now look, folks, here's the issue I've got with that. All right. I know I'm going to get flack for this, but if you are born a certain sex, let's say you're born a male, your DNA is male DNA. You could change your gender, and guess what? You still have male DNA. You might have the top part and the bottom part replumbed, but you're still a guy. God created a man and a woman. That's right. And nothing is going to change that. What happened to the science deniers, the clingers to climate change, which is non-science based at all? Governor Wolf here in Pennsylvania, just doubling down on this tyrannical despot type of activities. And I'll tell you what, we in Pennsylvania need to get him out of office, keep him out of office, and the likes of him. And whoever he put in charge of our health services, can't even make up his or her own mind what sex they are. I don't even know what pronoun to use. And you know, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be nasty. But I'll say this. We are so far from anything normal, aren't we? I mean, people say, we got to get back to normal. Well, what the hell is normal? They don't know what normal is. I'm fired up today. But the good thing is, and that's probably going to get me in trouble for saying all that, but here's a good thing. Some things are coming out because of the Flynn disclosures and related disclosures. And President Trump finally, it looks like he finally said enough is enough. He's pressuring Lindsey Graham to call Obama to testify. That's right, about Obamagate, as aptly named. Adam Schiff, Obama, Clapper, Brennan, Comey, all these knuckleheads. Look, they need to be exposed. So what's going on with the nation, with the shutdown? Well, a lot of things, of course. People are sick and tired, and I agree with them, about being locked down. Look, you quarantine the sick. That's prudent. You quarantine the healthy. That's tyranny. And where in the Constitution, by the way, does it say that governors or people in the state, anybody, can issue edicts that are against the Constitution? I thought that was settled law with Marbury versus Madison, United States Supreme Court. I don't know. Wasn't it? Any law that's antithetical to the United States Constitution is no law at all. Isn't that what it's supposed to be? And if that's not good enough, then 18 U.S.C. Section 242, deprivation of rights under color of law. Everyone should be able to get back to work and as they so please. But look, this is headed toward this mandatory vaccination stuff. And ID 2020, you know, Real ID Act, this has been in the works forever. Before I get Dr. Lake on, and again, Dr. Lake's one of my favorite people. I'm not just saying that. I want to show you something here. There are three books, and you know, I love books. I love to read. You can ask my wife. My nose is always in a book. The Shinar Directive. Absolutely excellent book. Preparing the way for the son of perdition. Second one is the Sharif Imperative. Oh, man. You know, I was humbled to write the foreword for this book. And there's the sound effects, of course. Sound effects here at the Hagman House Studio. We're having some electrical work done, which is why we weren't on the air on Monday. So you just have to deal with it, right? The Sharif Imperative, Empowering the Remnant to Overcome the Gates of Hell, an extremely important book. Again, he was kind enough to allow me to write the foreword, and I don't deserve that. Anyway, and then one of my wife's favorite books is a book by Mary Lou Lake, What Witches Don't Want Christians to Know, the expanded edition. It's a true story of the occult and mind control by Dr. Lake's wife, Mary Lou Lake, and you can listen to her on the podcast and such at kingdomintelligencebriefing.com. Now, before I bring him on, I asked Eric to isolate a little bit of a part of a podcast, a broadcast. And if we could play that right now, and I'll give credit, appropriate credit after it's done playing. It's about a minute and a half, 2 minutes is all. Go ahead and play it. Oh, 1 second, he said. I guess Lady of the Studio Dog kind of rattled things. But seriously, okay, here we go.
In biblical, we see this as pestilence. That's the definition of pestilence, not the definition of plague. And we've had several robust conversations about it. I want your insights as to this pestilence that's being unleashed upon the world.
The more I research it, in fact, I just read a couple of reports this morning that link CIA funding to the Wuhan laboratory in China. And so I think it was probably structured to bring down the world economy. You know, one of the interesting things, as soon as this thing came out, Henry Kissinger kind of resurrected from the dead. And it's like, America will not survive unless we have a one world government. You know, they're stuck on that same old tune. And then when Trump obviously wasn't going to go along with it, he says, America will burn because they're not doing this. I think there's probably, we're going to see, warring between different factions of the Luciferian elite. We have the Asian Luciferian elite actually are fighting right now, against the Western ones. One of the things I think was most likely man-made, you know, at first they were saying it was very slow to mutate.
Right.
And now we have 30 strains. and some of the strains, like in New York, are up to 57 times more viral load than maybe the one that went here through the Ozarks, which has been very, very mild. Also interesting, if you've been watching the CDC, I think they're getting better data because we've had reports. In fact, we have a family friend that their mother was in stage 4 cancer, but when she died, they called it a corona death, and now they're fighting it. Well, yesterday, the CDC updated its deaths, and it went from almost 50,000 down to 37,000 for corona deaths. And so I think there's been a lot of inflation of a lot of different things. I think in some areas, like in New York and some of these bigger cities, it has absolutely burned through like a wildfire, and we're still praying for people up there, which also goes against the entire thing of the 2030 agenda of the UN, that these super cities are going to be death traps. And I think people are realizing that, and I think there's going to be a mass exodus more toward the rural areas. But something else, Eric, I think that we're going to see is the systematic dismantling of the economic engine of China as nations begin to pull their manufacturing back into their own nations.
Even the best laid plans, right? And Dr. Lake points some very interesting things out in that clip. Compliments of Igniting a Nation with Rabbi Walker, that from May 5th of this year. And of course, hey, you know what? God is in control, isn't he? I mean, God is in control. So I wanted to play that because I thought that was just a very informative segment. And go to kingdomintelligencebriefing.com. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReportLive.com for more of that, or for the entire video, as well as access to other videos and other works by Dr. Lake. And Dr. Lake, thank you so much for your patience as I brought you in, and thanks for being with me today.
Doug, it's a real blessing to be with you, and we're definitely living in interesting times, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. We are indeed. My wife was sitting in the office just not too far from me, and during that video clip, she said, "Are you going to let Dr. Lake talk at all?" And I said, "He's got the entire rest of the program." So, and really, I'm going to kind of open it up for whatever you want to talk about today, because there's so much to talk about. Interesting times indeed.
You know, I see the elite trying to move, and I see God interrupting a lot of things. I even see them contradicting each other. You know, if there for a while it was, you know, we got to hold on till we have a vaccine. Everybody's going to be a mandatory vaccine. Now Fauci just said, was yesterday or the day before, there's no guarantee it's going to work. You know, we're looking at, what was it, 20 years ago, SARS broke out in China, and which is kind of the beginning of what we have here. 20 years later, they do not have a vaccine for it. So this whole vaccine scenario was beginning to fall apart on its own. And I think the two of the greatest things that we can use is prayer and common sense.
Wow.
You know, if people just follow common sense when they go in places, I'm still seeing people that go in, you know, we have a Casey's here that has some of the best coffee around, and people just going in and out, and, you know, I'll use a Kleenex or something to open the door. I prefer places that the doors open all by themselves. And they're doing that, and they're eating, wash their hands, or using anything to try to balance out what they're doing. And I think because of that it's we're primed for something like this to begin spreading across the nation.
Sure. prayer and common sense, two things that I believe most, not most, but well, maybe most people are short on, indeed, you know, and I see people who are wearing masks that if they think they're protecting themselves, they're not. Perhaps they're protecting others, but, you know, certainly they're not wearing them properly. And then I see people, like you said, you know, they, it just amazes me what I see people doing. And I think they do it rote. I mean, you know, I think they do it out of habit. You're right. You know, grabbing the door, handling money, whatever it might be. And then, of course, eating with their hands without, washing them or, you know, so yeah, you're exactly right. And of course, prayer, we're in much need of prayer. We need to repent and pray as Christians should do, given the time period. So absolutely.
But, you know, I think as we're looking at things, you know, one thing I begin to encourage everybody to do way back when you first interviewed me for the Shiner Directive.
Yep.
And praying that everything hidden be revealed. What we have seen in this pandemic, now you can go from state to state. Luckily, we have a Republican governor here in the state of Missouri. I don't know if it, from what you were saying about your governor, I would say he's most likely Democrat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Communist, more communist than anything else. I've never seen anything like it before.
Well, what I have seen is their propensity, Democrats, I got to watch my words here, Democrats do not give the Constitution a second thought. They will reach for power anytime. That's one of the things we're even seeing with Donald Trump right now, that they are mad that he did not circumvent the Constitution and become draconian in his measures. Whereas a Republican measures out the welfare of the public with what the Constitution actually says that he can do.
Right. Right. Yep.
And I think in the upcoming election, we got to bear that in mind, because they're beginning to show themselves time and time again. And for right now, for the Democrats, it's all about power. One of the things that I have been concerned about, and this has been since Trump was elected, that from what I understand and the intelligence that I've received, it was China that gave the orders, begin censoring something and calling it fake news. You need to control the information coming out of your nation. And number two, take away the guns.
Yes, exactly.
And, yep. And who's in lockstep with that? It's the Liberal Party that are now taking orders, not from the Constitution, not from their own people, but from a foreign nation.
That's right. You're exactly right. I mean, we've got Chinese communist infiltration at all levels, I believe, of our government. You know, it came out about the different support personnel for members of Congress. You've got this Chinese intellectual theft, and that's what I call it, from universities as well as from our business and industry. You've got so there's so much going on. And then, of course, you know what, Dr. Lake, I was thinking about this, and again, I don't want to dominate at all. I want to give the floor to you, but what I thought was very interesting was the timing of this particular virus, because President Trump was really coming down on China with respect to free trade and tariffs, and opening up or you know, closing off, I should say, the cheap labor and trying to nationalize our industry. Maybe those are the improper words, but to benefit the American public. But, you know, we find out we're dependent. 90% of our pharmaceuticals come from China. It's intolerable for a country. So I question the timing on this. And now I question, and I'm looking at the response. So.
Yeah. And we have limited intelligence, of course. We're never going to see what the president sees, although I think sometimes his attitudes kind of reveal some of the intelligence that he's been reading. But I have wondered if this was something that did get out of a lab. One of the things I postulated in my first book, regardless of the country, that behind the scenes, the elite are controlling everything. They will compartmentalize everything. They will use arms races and a lot of different things, saying they need. That are there, or just the even the players that are there don't really know the full spectrum of what's going on.
Right.
They don't know. And so China can be developing apart. Russia can be developing apart. We can be developing apart here in America, but the elite are the one that get all the pieces. And so there have been reports of connections of the CIA to the Wuhan laboratory. And I wonder if this thing maybe originally got out by accident, and it greatly affected the Chinese economy, which would go against a lot of their plans. And so the only way to even the board would be to spread it around the world.
Interesting premise. I suppose anything is possible at this point. I mean, and I also wonder as well, given the nature or what we know of, at least we think we know of the nature of this particular virus, if there is not another payload maybe, or perhaps a self-replicating or mutating kind of element to this virus that's gonna surprise us later. I don't know, but certainly everything seems to be on the table.
It does. I have wondered if there was not multiple strains. You know, originally they were saying, hey, this virus mutates very, very slowly. And now, oh, there's 30 different strains. Well, which is it? Does it mutate slowly? Or is there 30 different strains? Or maybe there were strains that were more potent that were deposited in very strategic areas.
Good point. Yeah, in that segment you had mentioned, or in that interview, I'm not sure about that segment, but you had mentioned Agenda 2030, stacking and packing people in urban areas, places like New York City, and how that virus went through New York City and other urban areas. So, I'm looking at this whole thing, and I think a lot of times, you know, Doctor, I think people are not thinking big enough. You talk about the elite, you talk about the New World Order, the permanent bureaucracy, whatever you want to call it, the authoritarians. And I just wonder if we as a people are not thinking big enough or wide enough. I'm not sure if that even made sense, but looking at the bigger picture.
I think so.
Yeah.
And some of the evidence that is actually still struggling between the elite. They are not all on the same page. From what I understand, the plan was to bring all the wealth out of America, take it over into the Orient. And then what they were planning on doing was resurrecting America like the rising phoenix with probably new oil deposits. Guys, there's oil deposits in America that we're not allowed to tap right now that are greater than what Saudi Arabia or many other nations have. They're just waiting for them to pull that out of their head at the right minute. And so, you know, America was supposed to rise up out of the ashes. And some of the feedback that I'm getting is once this money began to go to the Orient and basically America and many of our politicians that we're now trusting to kind of fix this thing were the ones that put China into power and began building it up as nation and took the money away out of our own nation. So the solution isn't going to come over there unless everything is revealed so the American public to begin demanding a change. But now that it's in the Orient, they don't want to let it go. They want China to become a new superpower. And so I think there's a struggling between those two sides. From what I understand, too, there's also a struggling, even in America, between the elite, the East Coast and the West Coast. The East Coast wants to collapse the nation. The West Coast wants to move to a gold standard. Then one of the things that God recently kind of revealed to us, my wife's very prophetic, and God showed her there's, and you know, it's hard to get a right terminology because when you look at the elite, nefarious is a very good terminology for them. But there's ones that are almost like mafia that aren't a part of that, but have a lot of money that let's say they can do it in drug trafficking, human trafficking, a lot of things. And this virus and the lockdown is really hurting them bad. And I think they know that the elite are behind this. So we could actually see some warring factions between these two groups here in the United States.
Yeah, I heard you and Mary Lou talking about that. Folks, go to kingdomintelligencebriefing.com. That's kingdomintelligencebriefing.com. intelligencebriefing.com. The link will be at HagmanReportLive.com in the program description box. But I'll tell you something. The teachings there by Dr. Lake and his wife, of course, are critical, at least in my view, to understanding the times in which we live. And I find that assessment very interesting. Dr. Lake, did you see an exacerbation of the already large political divide in this country based on the response to what, you know, to this virus and what President Trump, I mean, no matter what President Trump does, it's going to be his fault, death counts, his fault. I understand that, but do you see a exacerbation of the divide?
I think there is. And I think the Republicans need to wake up no matter what the Democrats decide to do. Now it can be jumping on their left foot yesterday, but today they're jumping on their right foot. They will do it in absolute unison. And the Republicans are more worried about optics than they are about standing for truth. And I think they need to solidify with that. But there is everything being that is hidden is being revealed. They're showing they're very communistic in what they do. I think the left is run more like a mafia rather than a political system. And these things need to be revealed. And I think that if people begin raising up and begin voting them out of power, we could see some real changes here in America. But it's going to take not just voting. It is going to take the power of God. It's going to be the power of God first, and then us taking up our rights as citizens and begin standing for truth. If we don't, I think if we don't have revival, we're going to have civil war. And so it's going to be one or the other.
I totally agree. I understand and agree with you. And again, if we don't have revival, there will be, as Dr. Lake said, civil war, internal conflict, civil unrest. I believe to such an extent that we have not seen it since the Civil War, and it might even eclipse the Civil War. So I believe that. And there are people who are saying, "Oh, we're going to have revival," and I know. Doctor, some of the same people are just saying, just wait, or you're going to see arrests of the people who were being seditious and treasonous during Donald Trump's presidency. And we know that there are people that within the previous administration, if you want to call it that, who broke the law. And we haven't seen any relief from that or any justice from that. And there's a difference between the legal system in which we have versus a justice system in which we need. Now, having said all of that, there are some biblical, in my view anyway, and as evidenced by and illustrated by your recent programs, briefing 257, for example, Divine Order, Leadership, and Spiritual Warfare. What we're seeing here is far beyond anything in the physical. It involves a spiritual war in which we find ourselves. And there are so many parallels and examples. It would take look, Christians should understand where we're at time-wise and the parallels. So please enlighten us.
2020 is probably one of the most unique years that I have ever seen prophetically. When I was trained to research the Word of God, you know, you're taught exegesis, you're taught hermeneutical principle, you're taught how to, you know, basics of Greek and Hebrew. What you're not taught is pattern recognition, which is the chief way Hebraically that God communicated. There are patterns in the way he does things. There are patterns in the feasts and all the stories in the Bible, because patterns are easy to recognize if you're looking for them. This year, Passover fell on the exact same day of the week that it did the week that Jesus was crucified. It was not on Friday. It was on Wednesday evening. Passover is about an hour before the sun sets on that Wednesday. Then you begin the first day of unleavened bread. That week there were two Sabbaths. There was the high Sabbath of Passover, and then there was also the Sabbath that is the normal Sabbath. So Jesus died before sunset on Wednesday, which this is when Passover was this week. This is also the first time in history since the time of Moses that Israel as a nation hunkered down in their own homes, that the head of each household was observing Passover, and they were hunkering down to be protected from a plague. That is absolutely historic. And so God has been revealing us, you know, a lot of things we had on the last day of unleavened bread, which historically is the day that they went around Jericho the seven times and sounded the shofars and the walls came down. And so we ask our followers on 10 o'clock on that day in the morning around the world, 10 o'clock Central Time, to begin sounding their shofar. And we heard reports from all over the world of people sounding shofars. In fact, there were people calling into TV stations and trying to figure out, why are we hearing shofars all over the place? What I didn't know is there was a prophecy went out in Israel to begin sounding shofars this year at the beginning of Passover. And so unknowingly, we had no idea they were doing that. We just felt led by the Holy Spirit to share that. And I'm actually getting reports in some areas in their states that day the coronavirus peaked and began going down on the next day. And so God is up to something.
I would say, you know, people will say, well, that it's just a coincidence of timing. Yeah. I think there's a lot more than that. And you mentioned, you mentioned your book, The Shinar Directive, folks. I would urge everyone to get yourself a copy of The Shinar Directive. I do that all the time, by the way. Take it out of, screen. But The Shinar Directive, it really gives you, it lays the foundation in many respects for what we're seeing today. And it's subtitled Preparing the Way for the Son of Perdition. And it's prophetic in that respect, I believe. Well researched, well documented, and I dare say prophetic. So yes, indeed. But isn't that interesting? Without knowing and how that all tied together, that's pretty cool. I like that.
And I even think this year Pentecost is going to be very, very powerful. That if we prepare ourselves and get ready, there's going to be repentance, setting things in order. We've got to prepare for the fire of God. You know, most theologians, they'll look back at that Shavuot after the resurrection of Christ and say that's when the church began. I think that's when the New Testament priesthood began, because you cannot have a priesthood without fire. That's when the fire of God moved on the inside of humanity. We forget that John the Baptist prophesied that Jesus was going to come with the Holy Spirit and fire. Nobody ever preaches on the fire, hardly. They'll preach on the Holy Spirit. We forget Acts chapter 2. It says that tongues of fire, we always get so caught up in tongues in the language. So there was multiple fires. Each one has its own purpose within the life of the believer. Each one has its own place. There are four places in the life of the believer that the fire of God is supposed to work: on the brazen altar, on the menorah, talking about revelation knowledge, on the altar of incense, and then over the throne of God in the Holy of Holies. We as believers, we are a tabernacle. We have all the furniture of the tabernacle is built on the inside of us. And we're also priests. So literally, Doug, you and I are mobile temples for God, that we can effectively operate in the priesthood anywhere we are, because we carry the kingdom on the inside of us. But we have never been taught how to deal with the fire. We've never been taught our priesthood. We've never been taught the full measure of what the priesthood represents, especially now in Christ. What we see in the Old Testament is a broken up shadow of what the priesthood is supposed to be. And that's one of the reasons I'm working so diligently on my next book, that I'm hoping to have it finished probably by about the first week in June. And just depending upon what the printers can do, we should have it either available in print in July or August. But it's going to teach the priesthood. It's going to teach what the fire of God is about, how we're supposed to use it, how we can properly carry the name of God. Because unless we're carrying the name of God correctly, the name is not going to work properly when we use it against the enemy.
Well, okay, that's important for me. So this is going to be your next book. Is going to be somewhat of an instruction manual then for Christians to engage in the priesthood as it should be, in using, or, and I want to be very careful on my wording here, using the name of God properly. That didn't sound right when it came out of my mouth. Calling upon
the name of God. Carrying,
Carry
you on. Know, it's like you were given the name Hagman. That's a Hagman name.
Right.
And you were raised in a time they would say, son, be careful what you do out in the world because you're carrying the family name. What you do can either cause the family name to be elevated, respected, or despised.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that's part of the Ten Commandments. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That means to make it a vain thing. It doesn't mean that you used it as a curse word. It's by living in the ways of God. We're either exalting the name of God or we're causing the name of God to be disparaged among the nations around us.
Through the way we live. And
yeah.
Okay. All right. Obviously. Okay. Wow. I very, very enlightening on that. All right. So this is going to be a much needed, again, I call it, I would, describe it as an instruction manual, but your upcoming book, working title or expected title, anticipated title of the book?
Kingdom Priesthood.
Kingdom.
Is going to be the main title. Then Training the Remnant, the Kingdom Priesthood to Raise Hell in the Last Days.
And we need to raise hell. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's,
we do.
That's the thing about Christians, Dr. Lake. excuse me. We seem to be so meek and mild, and you know, people say that Christians have a problem with being intolerant. I say that, and I take this from Dave Dobmeier. We have a problem with tolerance. We tolerate too doggone much. We tolerate sin. We tolerate all of these aberrations, when we shouldn't tolerate them in our own lives and in society in general. So this, wow, thank you. It's going to be a great book and I'm looking forward to getting that, the book. So folks, you've got to bookmark kingdomintelligencebriefing.com and watch for that book. And hopefully we'll have you back on if you're going to have the time so we can, discuss the book when it does come out. So, all right. Wow, that's great stuff. And by the way, folks, I want to tell people that this weekend, you're going to be a presenter at the True Legends Conference. That's going to be live streamed. And of course, you were on with Steve Quayle last week, I think it was, or a week and a half ago. So sign up for live streaming for the Gen 6 True Legends Conference, where Dr. Lake is going to be a speaker on that. Go ahead, sir.
Absolutely. No, with the conference, it's going to be an awesome conference. I know a lot of the guys that are going to be there. A couple of them, like Gary Wayne, I've not had a chance to meet yet. I love his research. All the people that Steve has assembled are top shelf people that are they're going to give a phenomenal presentation. And each one of them from their own unique point of view, which is what we need. I guess I'm talking from my military days, and I had a general that if everybody was harping the same thing, it'd make him mad. He says, I need opposing views. I need a full spectrum of information going on that, okay, you have one piece of the puzzle. You have one piece of the puzzle, and they may even seem to contradict, but you don't know everything that I know, and it's going to give me the information that I need to make the proper decisions. And I think that's what Steve has assembled, that all of this is going to be pertinent information. We need to understand ancient cataclysms because when we see what happened before between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, the war that went on between Lucifer and Almighty God that caused planet to be destroyed, that caused several planets to be decimated in our solar system. Uranus is setting on its side. This was a cosmic level event. When fallen angels begin to invade a place, there is a level of wrath that has not been seen by humanity maybe since Genesis chapter 6. And all this is going to be revealed in the last days, so we need to be prepared for that. At the same time, God has not left us defenseless. That he has given us the authority, he has given us the tools, but the Luciferian elite have, in our Laodicean theology, have literally put us to sleep. The body of Christ is more immature now than it has ever been. And so we're going to have to grow up. We're going to have to be trained up. We're going to have to quit wearing our hearts on our sleeves and become true men and women of God that can move in compassion when we need to move in compassion, but at the same time be supernatural warriors for the kingdom of God when we need to be. And that we're going to have to change a lot of our priorities. We're going to have to repent of a lot of things. We're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to bring His fire in us to bring healing to a lot of things so that we remove the easy buttons that Lucifer has planted all over us. It's like that Staples easy button that you try to raise up in faith and the enemy hits your easy button. Well, it's time to pull out those doggone things and throw them away and let the fire of God cauterize that and to bring healing and restoration so that you're a hard target and not an easy target in the kingdom of God.
Amen. And, I talk to a lot of Christians, or I receive a lot of emails from Christians or a lot of communications, saying, what can we do? I mean, faced with everything that we're faced with today, as a Christian or as Christians, what should we be doing? What could we be doing? Two different things, I might add, could versus should. And a lot of Christians are hungry. A lot of Christians are content to live their lives and not do anything or just to ride the wave, so to speak. But a lot of Christians are hungry. So this, the timing of your new book, as well as the information in your already published books and Mary Lou's book as well, so important today. So yes, and the timing, by the way, the timing of the conference and your speaking there, I don't believe it to be a coincidence. I think it's very much needed in this era in which we live. So yes, thank you. But yes, I think Christians are hungry and we need, some direction and, inspiration, I guess.
Yeah. Well, let me share something with you out of the book that I believe that the authority and things that we have was greater than that of Adam, okay, that we now have in Christ.
Okay.
But we don't even know what Adam had. You know, and I part of this, I was researching for Steve's conference at the same time that I'm writing this book. And so I wanted to try to settle the gap theory between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, and a lot of them will point to God told Adam to replenish the earth. And so I literally have every lexicon in the English language, and I can get lost in those things. It's just a wonderful journey. And so I'm going to look and I'm going to settle this, I'm going to bring up all the top Hebraists on the planet. And is it replenish or plenish? And boy, I dug and I dug and I dug. And if you lined up all the Hebraists, 50% were on this side says, hey, it can be translated plenish, on this side, replenish. And I thought, well, that was really a lot of help. And God says, dig deeper. That same word, when you understand the historic etymology and its development within the Hebrew language, that word, it's malay in Hebrew, literally means that when God told them to replenish the earth, He was consecrating them as priests. Adam and Eve were God's original priests in the earth. But it also means to fully equip them as an army. So Adam and Eve were priests in the earth of God, and they were given the spiritual warfare weapons that they needed. In other words, they could have held their own against the Nehesh in the garden, the serpent in the garden. And instead of holding his own, Adam laid down his staff of authority. Okay, so you have Adam's authority that was lost. Jesus not only came to get that,
right,
but he came as the second Adam, so he came with his own staff.
Okay.
As a believer, we get them both.
Wow.
Let that sink in for a minute. He came to get that which was lost, was not only humanity, but the authority that was given to Adam. So not only do I have that staff back in which I am a priest, that was God's original plan. The Levitical priesthood and the Kohanim was God's option B. Option A was, I want to make you a kingdom of priests. And that's what we have in the New Testament. In fact, in the King James, it's a mistranslation that it's unfortunately translated kings and priests. There's only one king in this kingdom, and he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I am a royal priesthood. This is a priesthood, a kingdom priesthood that belongs to the king, and you and I are warrior priests in that kingdom. But we have never been taught our authority right. We have never been taught the level of authority that we have. And that I can move an external authority to the same proportion that I use that authority internally to bringing this vessel under the control of God.
All right. So this is going to sound like a very academic question, perhaps, but how much authority do we have? Or stated or asked differently, how much authority don't we know we have? Maybe that's, yeah. I'm not sure how to ask that question.
Probably one of the most mistaught things on the planet was, you know, Jesus looked at the mountain and said, you know, if you tell the mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, it's going to leave because nothing will be impossible to you. That was in light of the example that he gave. He said, the Father shows me and I do it. The Father tells me and I speak it. So we have delegated authority. You know, it's like when I was in the military, if I had an officer tell me to do something, then everything within his sphere of authority, the equipment, whatever I needed was now at my disposal to fulfill the orders that he gave me. And if anybody had questioned about it, if I had someone that wasn't as high ranking as him say, listen, I don't know if you should be doing this, I would simply point back to saying, Colonel so-and-so, General so-and-so told me to do it. And you'd be surprised how quickly that will change an attitude in the military.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's the same with us, that if my king, okay, if Satan has thrown a mountain in my way and I look at my king, he can say, climb it, go around it, blow it up. You know, there's a lot of different options. But if he says, command that mountain to be moved, and now I'm speaking what he spoke because I've gotten the flesh out of the way, then that mountain is going to obey the voice of God that spoke through me at that moment because I was moving in delegated authority that was being obedient.
Won't some people say, well, that's a matter of faith or failing the ability of your words to move that mountain, that's a failure of one's faith. Does that make sense or no?
It is if you're distrusting in your faith. I'm not. You see, the whole concept, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 said, you know, the just shall live by faith. Right. He was quoting Habakkuk. And so to get a Hebraic understanding of what he was sharing, you have to go back to Habakkuk and research the Hebrew words there used. Yes, he did say that the just shall live by faith, but that faith is not a formula. It is not a force. Literally in the Hebrew, it said the just shall live by his faithfulness, that he's being faithful to the covenant. He's being faithful to his relationship with God. That's how the just is to live. And the more faithful I am to him, the more that I can see mountains move.
Got it. Okay. And that certainly makes sense as you explain it. And folks, my guest is if he needs another introduction, but I want to make sure everyone knows who Dr. Lake is. Dr. Michael Lake, KingdomIntelligenceBriefing.com. That's the website to go to, KingdomIntelligenceBriefing.com. It'll be linked off of HagmanReport.com. Or I'm sorry, HagmanReportLive.com in the program description box. Folks, make sure you bookmark his website and listen to, watch the various teachings, Kingdom Intelligence Briefings, as they're called, and soak them up. So much information. And also, again, so much information in the Shinar Directive and the Sharith Imperative. The Shinar Directive, a critically important book for all of us to understand really what happened at the beginning of time. Would you say at the beginning of time? I mean, I don't want to miss at the very beginning to set the stage for today. So Man, that's just okay. All right. I didn't mean to get you off track. I just want to make sure people know where to go for the information, the books, as well as your teachings.
Well, Doug, I appreciate that. I want everybody to know, too, that, you know, as a seminarian, if you will, I've been teaching aspirants of the gospel ministry now since about 82. So it's been a while that I teach in series. So each book builds on the other. And so, you know, the Shiner directive is to take you to the place. Then the Shirith imperative is to add information on top of that one to begin preparing you. And the priesthood is going to be the same way. Instead of having to try to rebuild everything that I've already documented and established in the first two books, I'll simply refer to them. And so, you know, getting them all, because, we're taken by, you know, faith to faith, glory to glory. God says that he adds line upon line, precept upon precept. And so these things have got to be built in your spirit. And I'm trying to do through these books what I have been doing with the seminary now for almost 40 years, is take you where you need to be, in the kingdom of God, because a lot of times we're not getting it from the pulpits anymore. And you know, I think part of that has been the plan of the elite. You know, this, we no longer hit our knees the way that we used to. Judson Cornwell, so in his book he wrote way back in the 80s, it's the four profiles of a leader. You have to go up to the mountain. You have to have that burning bush experience for yourself as a man of God or a woman of God, and clearly hear the voice of God before you can come down the mountain with a message. And you can't get it off TV. You can't just preach what I'm preaching because I'm preaching it. Now, you know, God can maybe use it to build the fire on the inside of you, but you gotta be a faithful Berean and verify what I'm saying is the word of God. And once you internalize it and it becomes a part of you, then it can begin pouring out from your heart, because it's truth flowing through you. It's not, you know, this is what Mike Lake taught or Tom Horn taught or Doug Hagman or anybody else. It's, you know, all these guys are great and I'm feeding because there's real meat in there. But as I digested the meat, this is what God showed me. And this is the fire that he has lit on the inside of me. If we would have ministers do that once again, we would literally shake this nation to its very core. And I think that's going to be vital in taking down the deep state. Guys, let me tell you something. Trump cannot drain the swamp unless we're doing our part and we cry out to God for fire for his altar, fire for judgment. And then the same word that John Baptist, you know, gave to Jesus, he literally said, listen, Messiah, when he comes, he's going to be on the threshing floor with his fan, and he's going to direct that fire to burn up what needs to be burned up and then empower what needs to be empowered. And what makes that so powerful, Doug, is that the Temple of Solomon was built on a threshing floor that David had purchased. And so if I will let the fire of God come into here to cleanse me and empower me, then I can begin seeing the fire of God beginning to cleanse the nation. And even what we're going through right now was prophesied by David Wilkerson back in the 1980s. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yeah, I was, and I was frankly surprised. I shouldn't have been, but I was. But one thing I didn't really understand is where, although it was prophesied, where do we end up in the current situation? Maybe that's an oversimplification. Maybe that's trying to dig too much into something that I wasn't meant to, or, you know, is not meant to be dug into. But with that prophecy, and even aside or in addition to that prophecy, where does this all end up where we're at today? Or is it dependent upon what we do as Christians?
I think it depends on a lot what we do as Christians. I think what we're in the process of now is a wake-up call. Even all the information that's going to be given on this conference this weekend is a wake-up call. You know, when you're asleep in Laodicea, the only way the Almighty can get your attention is he has got to grab you by the shoulders and rattle you until your teeth chatter on the inside of your head to get you to wake up and see what's going on around you, especially since we've been in a techno-sorcery slumber that has permeated our culture by the elite on purpose. I think there are still a lot of the members that, you know, you and I are awake. Steve is awake. In fact, you know, sometimes I pray for Steve because I don't think he hardly ever sleeps. Bless his heart. He's always trying to do what God wants to do, and I know he's the information that he has been given is a hard burden to carry, and so I do a lot of praying for him. But there's so much of the body that is complacent in Laodicea. They have been lulled to sleep with hyper grace. Within the hyper grace movement, you know, you and I just talked about faithfulness to the covenant. And out of that movement, I was hearing people say, you know, I really don't have to be faithful to the covenant because, you know, God's faithful even when I'm not. And they are blind to the word of God that every time God poured out judgment, it was because his people weren't faithful to that covenant. But where he moved mountains was for a people that were faithful to the covenant. And so I think this is a wake-up call. And, you know, David, in his prophecy, was very succinct. He said it was going to be hit hardest in New York City, which I think we have the numbers that we do as far as the total that have died in America. And I'm still wondering about the numbers. They're saying on the news 80,000, approaching 80,000. The CDC side is at about 40,000. And, you know, we have half the scientists saying, well, there's a lot of ones that are being classified as having died from corona when they were actually dying of a terminal illness, and it should not have been that. Then we have some on the other side saying, well, there's probably some people that died of it that we didn't count. But New York is the epicenter of all this because I think God is shaking a nation to wake it up.
Yeah, I find it very interesting as I looked into this. People will say very assertively, the number is this or the number is that. Go ahead. Sorry about that. But they're very assertive in saying, well, this is the right number or this is the actual count or don't go there, go here. And then you've got the social networking, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, censoring YouTube, Google actually censoring specific sites and information. And it's almost as if none of us really have a handle, at least none of us in the real world have a handle or know who to trust with the numbers. And as you pointed out, you know, in that video clip where you were talking about someone who had cancer and of course the cause of death was attributed to the coronavirus or the SARS COVID virus or the Communist Chinese Party virus. So the confusion is reigning everywhere. I mean, the confusion reigns, and that's by design, isn't it?
It is. When you read the protocols of the learned elders of Sion, I say Sion and not Zion. Yep. It is not a Jewish document unless you want to attribute. But I look back to the Priory of Sion, and in it they said one of the things that they were planning on doing, guys, they did this centuries before the internet, okay? They said that part of their plan was to inundate us with so many different variations of information that we end up with paralysis by analysis. And guys, you can do the, it's like, you want to lose weight? How do you go on a diet? Well, you know, we need the low carb. Well, no, the low carb will kill you. Another one will say it's all vegetables. Another guy says, if you eat all vegetables, it'll kill you. You got to do this. And so you're showing, it's like, come on, guys. Science isn't science anymore because it has been usurped by the elite. And do you remember back when the cereal began to take hold here in America? And they would tell them, don't eat eggs because it raises your cholesterol. Well, yeah. They knew that it did because during the Korean War, they were feeding our troops powdered eggs, and they all had to have bypass surgery after the conflict because it clogged up all their arteries. And so when they did the scientific test for that statement, they did not use fresh eggs. They used powder eggs. And so it, anymore, the test results, the scientific results go to the person who funded that testing. And they basically said, here are the results that you're going to come up with in many cases. And they begin testing and designing the parameters of that experiment to lead you to the predetermined outcome that they were at. So they were trying to get in the first place. And so who do we trust? It goes back to the word of God. In Genesis 1:2, it says the world became tahu, became void. That same word means unreality. whenever the devil begins moving on the scene, he brings an unreality. And if there was ever an unreality in the world today, I mean, it's today. When Jesus said, I come to give you truth and that truth will set you free, that Greek word translated truth can also be translated reality. The word of God is our reality. And the more we move in that, the more we begin bringing reality around us and begin dismissing the shadows and dismissing the illusion that they're painting around us. And I'm not by any means saying that this epidemic is an illusion. I'm saying that however it got out, and there are certain places that it's very, very more potent than it is here, although there has even been some discrepancies coming out of New York about staging things for CBS and all these different things, of people waiting line to get treated and all these different things, and people showing videos of empty hospitals. So there's a lot of questions we still have. I know that people are dying up there because I've had friends and colleagues that have passed away suddenly from this virus up there, so it's real. But I also think that they can turn that into a false flag by seizing power, maybe even spreading it. There are questions whether China or even operatives here in America were complicit in spreading this virus. But to quote Rahm Emanuel, let's never waste a good crisis. And I think they're doing that today.
Exactly, and there are so many ways to look at this. So much to get into, by the way, folks. My guest is Dr. Michael Lay, Kingdom Intelligence Briefing. We're at the top of the hour network break. I want you to stay right where you're at. So much more ahead. Again, kingdomintelligencebriefing.com. Dr. Michael Lake, more ahead. Stand by. Going to be right back.
Mainstream media won't. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. And I'll tell you what, you're getting a dose of truth today like you've never gotten before, even from Lady the Studio Dog. And you'll have to excuse us. We're having electrical work done here in the studio, which, again, was we had a take Monday, and we were dark on Monday because of the length and the breadth of the work that was being done. So you'll have to excuse the occasional bark. Sometimes that's Lady. Sometimes that might even be Eric the Tech. I don't know. Hard to tell the difference between the two. Before I get back to Dr. Lake, I want to remind people, folks who haven't done so already, please go to Wisconsin Christian News. If you have not subscribed to Wisconsin Christian News, both the hard copy and the digital copy, please do so. But don't stop there. Donate. Support Wisconsin Christian News, because I'm going to tell you something. The cost of this for a year... Man, it barely covers the cost of printing and shipping. I was speaking to the owner and editor, and I've got to tell you, it's a rough, time for them. So please help them out. Donate to Wisconsin Christian News. Good people. As a matter of fact, they're featuring a column of mine. They did a couple of issues ago, and the upcoming issue, Lessons from a Kidnapping, which is a true story, so I'm excited about that. Good people, WisconsinChristianNews.com. My guest, of course, is Dr. Michael Lake, Kingdom Intelligence Briefing, and you want to talk about some truth. You know, I've got to say this. The Shinar Directive awakened me in ways that I don't think I've ever had things explained to me. There was an episode of Everyone Loves Raymond. I remember this. And back in the 90s, and you know, that the Marie, the mother, or somebody asked, why are we here? It was kind of a supposed to be a kind of a funny question. And of course, she didn't ask that, but someone else did. And that Marie, the mother, went and got a Bible. So it's in the Bible. I know it's right here. And then she starts at Genesis, and it was a kind of a humorous, or supposed to be a humorous scene. And I thought, wow, you know, for a lot of reasons that kind of resonated with me. If you want to know why we're here, not specifically in terms of that specific question, but the playing field and things that happen, the Shiner Directive explains a lot to you, followed by the Sharif Imperative. And I didn't do that justice. I really didn't. But if you want to know, what's our purpose? Shiner Directive. And again, the subtitle is Preparing the Way for the Son of Perdition. And the Sharif Imperative, Empowering the Remnant to Overcome the Gates of Hell. I'm telling you, these two books will fill you with knowledge in addition to your Bible. Okay? And my wife's favorite book from Dr. Lake's wife, Mary Lou Lake. This is a really great book, and folks, grab this. I'm telling you, guys, too. What Witches Don't Want Christians to Know, the expanded edition, the true story of the occult and mind control. This really has got some incredible information in it, and Mary Lou Lake went through, my goodness. So, KingdomIntelligenceBriefing.com. Getting back to Dr. Lake, you know, we were talking during the break, and I asked him, I said, you know, I just feel like I want to make sure I'm hitting all of the high points, asking the right questions, because got to ask the right questions, right? And one of the words that Dr. Lake said was discernment. You know, a lot of times I don't think Christians have, and generally people have discernment. We don't have the proper discernment. So let's talk about discernment, Dr. Lake, if you don't mind. How Christians need to develop discernment, and examples of lack of discernment, or examples of proper discernment. Go ahead.
I'm constantly getting emails from people all over the world that are just, I mean, they stay constantly on YouTube. You know, they don't open up the Bible for themselves. And so, you know, it's, when back years ago, when we had the Luciferian occult coming after our family and everything, I kicked into research mode. I wanted to understand their doctrine. I read books I had to burn after I read them, because I want to understand their mindsets and everything. At the same time, I had to balance it out, because they're moving in knowledge, and they're moving in power that the body of Christ has not seen very often. And they're being taught secrets, while at the same time they're dumbing us down. Right now, the body of Christ, we should be at this time, 2,000 years after the return of Christ, we should be in God's graduate school as far as walking with Him and being faithful to the kingdom and everything else. What the elite have done, they've taken us back to where we're still in preschool. And we don't have the discernment, because what happens, the closer I get to God, and for some of us, I remember when Mary, you know, God set her free of that depression and stuff, and, you know, I'd go to work, and I'd come back home, and what I didn't know is she was literally rolling in the floor, praying and trying to break through to hear the voice of God, that she said, I was almost screaming at the top of my lung, I'm a sheep and not a goat. I'm a sheep and not a goat. And she was determined that she had to overcome maybe a lot of things in her past, in her bloodline or whatever. But there, people will seldom take the time to spend the time in the wrestling they need with God to break through and hear. Once they really begin hearing God, and not their flesh, not their carnal desires, because you and I know, you know, if you've been in church very long, you'll have somebody come this week and say, God told me to do this. Then the next week, no, God told me to do that. And then the next week it's something completely different. And I'm thinking, the God that you're listening to is really schizophrenic, you know, because if, you know, if God never changes, what he told you the first week should still be standing in your life. And you said that he's already switched three times. It wasn't that God spoke. It was, you know, there's three places you can hear. You can hear from the enemy. You can hear out of your own desires, out of your own mind, or you can hear from God. And learning how to silence the enemy and learning how to get your own flesh to shut up sometimes can really be a wrestling match, to where you have to pray through, you have to fast through. There's a lot of things you got to do to settle that down, to begin actually hearing the voice of God and then testing it. You know what God will never tell you a single thing that does not line up with the Word of God. He will never tell you a single thing that does not line up with his character is revealed. I've heard people say, you know, God told me that I'm waiting for my wife to die so I can go marry somebody else. I'm thinking, on what planet? What planet does that happen?
Wow. Okay. And boy, that sounds extreme, but I guess not. You know, I mean, it sounds like, I'm not going to touch that. That's wow. Okay.
And so you think in that mess, when the prophecy starts hitting the fan, that you're ready to hear from God when all you have done is you have stayed tuned to your own carnality. That you know, the brazen altar, the whole purpose of the outer court. I go to the Word, you know, when the brazen laver is filled with water. Okay, it's like me going to the Word and God saying, Mike, here's the stuff you need to repent of and the stuff you need to fix. Okay? I take it to the brazen altar and I'm to attend that brazen altar. I'm not supposed to barbecue the flesh so that it tastes more savory. I'm supposed to stay there till it is reduced to ash. When I'm free of it, I can then return to the Word of God, and it's showing me now in that area who I have become, free of that which God asked me to sacrifice. And in that entire process, there's a breaking going on. There has to be a crushing. There has to be a breaking. There has to be development of receiving the Word of God with meekness. It's in that breaking of the flesh that the oil for the menorah within your soul is formed. And, you know, people want to have that anointing oil. They want to have all this revelation knowledge. But what they don't want to do is allow God to yield to God in this breaking process to get you out of the way, so that in that crushing, you know, the only way that you get olive oil, how do you get olive oil? You don't put a spigot on the side of an olive tree. The olive fruit has to be crushed to produce the oil. And what I am concerned about is there are a lot of people saying they're moving today in illumination or that anointing oil, and they're supposed to be moving in the revelation of the Holy Spirit, but they're moving in Promethean fire because they have never allowed God to work on them to break their carnality so that there could be a spirituality resurrected in their lives.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was listening to one of your teachings, War of the Fires, Biblical Life TV, where you state that not all supernatural fire is from God. The Word reveals that there are two fires, holy fire and strange fire, which you just said, Promethean fire. And you write here, and then you can comment on this, the modern church has allowed Promethean fire into its services. It's time to be able to discern between the two. Seek the true fire of God and purge the enemy's fire from our camps. Boy, is that, I don't think I've ever, I mean, that's such a powerful statement. So this is what's going on here today. Again, people have to realize that not all supernatural fire is from God, right? I mean, this is it.
There are a lot of things that everybody's been calling revival, probably especially in the last couple of decades. That's not revival. Historically, when you have revival, you go back and you study Finney or a lot of these other great revivals. They affected the bars. They affected the human trafficking. They affected the drug dealing. It was driven out of the areas because God's fire was moving. And today we can have, you know, revival and fill massive auditoriums, but it doesn't affect the city. And so that's not the fire of God. We know, some of the best watches in the world right now are made in Switzerland. and it's been that way for a long time. But people to understand the story behind that is that, I don't agree with everything about Calvin. I don't necessarily, buy into Calvinism. But with the revival, with the Reformation swept through the area, in an area heavy of brothels and all these different things, and now that people have repented, you don't become a prostitute for God. You got to clean all that stuff up. And so he was saying, okay, you had people that that made booze, that were into things that were quite unsavory, that was a part of sin. Now they're not walking in sin. We have got to have an industry where they can make a living. And so it was Calvin that was instrumental in that area becoming watchmakers to give them a way of having a vocation free of sin.
Okay.
And it should be that way whenever, you can read in Finney's revivals that, this is what I'm looking for. This is my heart cry. Okay, God's fire is beginning to be poured out in an area, and a sinner by accident strays into the city. Nobody says a word to him. He's just walking down the street, and the deeper he gets into the town, the more convicted of sin he becomes, and he falls on the sidewalk, begin crying out to God. Somebody has got to come out of their house, lead him to Jesus. It's because that area is so saturated with the fire of God that it's the only thing that can cancel out the Promethean fire, that can cancel out and cleanse. We even see this with, I look at how God judged the sons of Aaron when they brought strange fire, because they were drunk, and they put strange fire in the incense, which also kind of can represent not only our prayer life, but our soul. And a fire went out from the presence of God and consumed them. And I'm thinking, man, this is really a harsh judgment. Until I realized, they had literally reenacted Genesis 3 and Genesis 6 in the face of God in his own temple.
When you say that, what do you mean by that? Just to be clear, reenacted Genesis 3 and 6. What do you mean by that?
The serpent, and you look up the etymology, it's Nehesh in the Hebrew, which literally means a dragon. It was a seraph. So, that being literally set that tree on fire and saying, I'm going to give you knowledge. That's why the Greeks call it Promethean fire, fire in the minds of men, or as we had one president call it, 1,000 points of light. And so it's this strange fire. We see in Genesis 6, not only were they having a interspecies breeding program, if you will, but when you read the book of Enoch, they were giving secret knowledge to man. And one of those secret knowledges was gene splicing. When you read the pseudepigrapha book of like the book of Jasher, the book of Jubilees, that many of the chimeras that we can attribute to the Minotaur and many of these other were not necessarily things that the watchers had created, but man himself had created with the secret knowledge that they had given him. And so that was like round two of the secret fire, as well as how to control nations. Everything the mystery religions do is based upon Promethean fire.
Okay.
And it has permeated the church. I'm sitting here, and I like to listen to sermons by a lot of different people. I mean, there's some people I really, really respect. But I also kind of tune into some to see, okay, what's this crowd preaching? And I was literally sitting there with my jaw on the table as this guy said he had a revelation of Jesus, and he was literally teaching out of morals and dogma.
Okay.
Calling it a revelation. We have, even in the Hebraic Roots movement and many other areas of the prophetic movement, they're using Kabbalah, which is basically Promethean fire wrapped in a Hebrew cloak, and bringing that stuff into the church. And guys, the only antidote for that is the fire of God will burn out and drive out Promethean fire. That's why the fire of God is so important. And that's why I think this wake up call, the only way that we're going to be able to drain the swamp is the fire of God has got to burn across it.
And that's okay. And thank you for addressing that, because you're right. President Trump is not going to be able to, as a man and as one man, and even with a group of men, he's not going to be able to drain the swamp. It's going to take much more. And as you just indicated, and this should remind us that we're battling on the spiritual level. the darkness that we're battling, and as you pointed out too, the two fires. Okay, wow. Please continue, because this to me is so important.
Well, when Jesus came with the antidote, okay, he came and said, listen, I'm going to fix what Adam did. But in the prophetic words, he came also with the fire that was the antidote. It's the blood of Jesus and the fire of the Holy Spirit that bring the antidote to drive out the poison of the enemy. And we have got to have both, but we need to be aware. You know, if we start praying, God, let everything hidden be revealed, we better make sure that everything in our life has already been confessed before God is on the altar.
Oh, amen.
Because, and I think a lot of Christians don't want to pray that because it scares them to death. you can't say, God, I want your light to come on, but don't shine the light on anything on me. Just shine it on the enemy. That's not the way it works. Get right with God. That's one of the things that the feasts teach us. You know, when you have Passover, it's making sure everything's under the blood. In the fall feast, the 10 days of awe, before you go into that Day of Atonement, you make sure that everything is right between you and God and you and man.
Right.
Because, you know, because when the Lord shows up, sin, wherever it is going to be affected. And so we don't want it us. So there has to be this time of purifying with us. Lord, I need to repent. I need to make right whatever I need to make right. Show me, because I'm going to make a covenant with you now that if you'll be good enough to show me and give me the grace to deal with it, I'll deal with it.
Mm.
If I'll do that, then when I pray, Lord, to these jokers up in Washington, D.C., let everything hidden be revealed. Our media can't play whack-a-mole good enough to cover up everything that's going to be revealed.
Oh, amen. Amen to that. And okay, so what he said, I'm telling you, folks, I mean, what Dr. Lake just said there, amen to that. Please continue. And I love this because, well, I'll just insert this here. What we're seeing today, I believe that everything that we're seeing today, people, I've gotten emails and or I've seen comments, specifically seen comments. Why is God allowing this to happen? Why is God, or is this a punishment from God? You name it. But there's a lot of uncertainty. As you pointed out, there's a lot of lack of discernment as well. Even within especially within the Christian community, as you said, you know, at this point we should be in God's graduate school and we're not. Stopping there, I guess, this, what we're experiencing today, I believe is, or would you, let me phrase this as a question. Would you believe this is divinely ordained, what we're seeing today? Because it's having some positive effects. As you mentioned during the break, we're seeing some families that are being strengthened, the family unit, the biblical family unit. We're seeing some other things that the so-called elite, the leaders of the New World Order, the permanent bureaucracy, whatever you want to be, the authoritative state, didn't count on. And I think that it's more than collateral damage, or more than for them, it's more than collateral damage. Go ahead.
At this point, I don't know if God is necessarily the architect of it, because, you know, he gave authority over to man. And with this whole thing of, you know, why did God allow this? Okay. If he gave us authority, which he did from the very beginning, he gave Adam and Eve authority. Adam was the one that allowed the serpent in the garden to do what he did. It wasn't that God allowed it, because God basically said, listen, I'm delegating authority to you. We these things happen because there has been evil released on the earth. And when the body of Christ does not become the salt and light that we're supposed to be, then this stuff can begin taking over. So a great portion of the responsibility lays back on the church, because we were asleep in the midnight hour, the thieves got in. We did not hold them accountable. We did not have prophets begin raising up and saying, I know you're doing this at this clandestine group or this clandestine group, and begin calling it out and making it public, and then as a people begin moving against it. Because that didn't happen, we find that we're at where we're at today. And so the only antidote is for us to begin raising up, dealing with our own issues, making sure that we're right with God, getting back into the Word of God ourselves. And you know, there's something here for this newer generation I need to point out. You know, with me, I'm getting older, and for some reason, the print keeps shrinking in my Bibles, you know, and I don't want to have to carry one the size of a Strong's Concordance, you know, around with me, because, as you know, it's like, here, let me give you the, let me open up my Bible. It's this 15-pound book next to me. And so we go to, you know, a digital format. You know, I love the Kindle because when I'm researching, I can make the print bigger. But what we're discovering with digital media is your mind will not store that information properly because there's no permanence. Because at a swipe of a finger, that page can change and the words on the page can change. Therefore, your mind does not classify it as permanent. We've got to go back to an analog when it comes to the Word of God. Get you a good Bible, get some good Bible markers, some good Bible pens, and get in there and begin researching yourself. You can use the digital stuff. I've got probably, I want to say maybe 20,000 volumes digitally that I can, instead of trying to hunt down in my own library, I can just let the computer hunt it up and do the research. But then you've got to go back to your personal roadmap, which is the Word of God. Meditate on it, mark it up, write notes on the side, write in there what God is showing you, and that's going to become part of your roadmap, that we've got to return to that discipline. We've also got to make sure that as we're looking at all this stuff, and Doug, I know that you know this, that you're looking at what they're doing. You can get so deep into research and consuming that all the time, it causes fear to raise up.
Yep.
And it also causes hopelessness.
Oh, it does. So, and that's not a place that we want to be, right? I mean, but by the way, when you mention that, my wife was laughing at me because I've got like all of these notes. I don't know if you can see this, but the tabs and you're right about the print shrinking. So I've got a big magnifying glass as well and all kinds of notes, but you're exactly right. By the way, I just want to make sure people don't gloss over that. We need the written word as opposed to the virtual word for it to really take root in our conscious, in our intellect, in our brains, I guess. So that's why I'm such a believer in this and the pen and paper. So thank you for stating that. I can't really stress that enough. And I think that you're one of the only people I've heard say that. So thank you for saying that. Now I forgot where I was going with that, but.
Let me add too that, okay, you know, I was raised on King James, okay? You know, I thought, you know, when Moses heard God and at the burning bush, God spoke in Elizabethan English, you know, I was just raised in that era.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I can do quite well with the King James. I also know where the King James, there are some antiquated words that don't mean today what they meant back then. And so that's natural to me, but we have a younger generation that doesn't. Make sure that you use a version that is closer to a transliteration of the original Greek and Hebrew. The New American Standard, the New King James, and even the modern English version I really like. I'm just waiting for them to bring it out in a real leather translation because I got one. I loved it. It was a large note and the thing began to fall apart in a couple of months the way that I use my Bible. So I try to get heirloom quality Bibles. Because when I start marking up in it and adding notes and everything, I like to be able to have it 10 years later because I still want that to be the roadmap that I can go to. You know, so get you a good quality one. Get you one that has some good study notes in it. The Spirit-filled study Bible is very good. One of my favorite that is a little harder to find is the Open Bible Study Edition. Its encyclopedic index in the front of that book is worth its weight in gold. Mm. And get you a good one. Use it, get some good Bible markers, and be, you know, mine looks like a rainbow when I get through with it because I'll see where they're shifting topics, or sometimes you can use the topics, you can use an inductive study Bible method where each color means, you know, red may mean salvation, yellow may mean something else. And so when you see Bible verses that are dealing with that, you can color code them based upon whether it's end time prophecy or whatever. You can underline certain words that the Holy Spirit makes alive into you and get one that has enough margins on the side that you can begin writing your own notes on the side of what God God is showing you, because I guarantee you, you're going to come back to those notes time and time again.
Amen. And again, I thank you. And folks, this, I believe, what we're talking about today, you know, we can talk, I could rattle off headlines. I could rattle off the information within the body of each article, each column, each story. I can do all of this. But when it's all said and done, I mean, it comes back to what Dr. Michael Lake is talking about. It comes back to the spiritual realm and what God is doing and what we should be doing, which, by the way, his next book, working title, Kingdom Priesthood, is going to tell us what, or not tell us, but assist us in acting in the manner in which we should act in accordance with biblical and scriptural insights. I hope I did that well for you, but so I'm so excited to grab a hold of the upcoming Kingdom Priesthood book. And folks, go to kingdomintelligencebriefing.com, kingdomintelligencebriefing.com. This is why, by the way, this is why Steve selected Dr. Lake. Dr. Lake could do the entire conference. I'm confident he could do the entire conference based on his knowledge alone. So I am so thankful to have him today and to impose upon his time today for this program. So continue, Dr. Lake. Again, I didn't mean to throw you off. But by the way, gen6.com is where you can still sign up for the conference, I think until midnight tonight, and you'll get to see and get to hear Dr. Lake's presentation, and that's gen6.com. Please do that because I think it's so important. So go ahead, Dr. Lake. Again, I disrupted, and hopefully I didn't take you too far off the mark there.
That's kind of what I missed last week, is you being to interact too. it seemed like Steve and I got on a roll, and you were just sitting there saying, "Go, guys, go!"
Man, that was gold too. I know when not to talk, because and that's most of the time when you and Steve get together, because you guys just go at it, and I'm thinking, man, this is gold. And what you're saying right now is, you know, it seems like you've got people who seem almost resigned, hopeless. Well, you can't change prophecy. This is God's judgment. We're destined to be here. And they are almost like, they almost like give up. Christians give up. And I'm thinking, I don't think that's the way it's supposed to be.
I think that's the plan of the enemy. In fact, I see three groups. I see ones, okay, game over. I'm wearing the white flag and I'm giving up. There's no hope for us to do anything. And then you have that group that's ambivalent. I don't care, as long as the money keeps flowing in Laodicea. But then you have that Jonah group that are sitting under their gourd pouting because the world isn't in flames right now. Which is really crazy to me. I'm mad because a billion people didn't die today. Well, that's what the enemy is wanting. Why are you mad? Because it didn't happen. I would rather say, you know what? I'm sitting here and I'm fasting because I'm believing in the midst of all this, we're going to see a billion souls brought into the kingdom of God. And see, that's where we have people either responding in fear, or they're responding not because the word of God isn't unfolding just like God said it would. It's that it's not unfolding the way that they interpreted and proclaimed that the word of God was supposed to do, because they didn't necessarily hear from God. They could see the pattern, or they could see whatever it's going to be, and they set dates. You know, one of the things that I shared on your program, and in the midst of all this, that God created a temporal loop. He gave us more time because people begin to cry out. And I still think we're in that temporal loop because he had something in mind when he granted it. When you read, and I think it's Daniel chapter 11, and this is dealing with the height of the Antichrist, when the Antichrist is in his apex of power. Okay, that he didn't get any more powerful than this in the earth. And Daniel declares, but there are those that are going to know their God. And that word is, they are extremely intimate with God, that they know his voice, and that all God has to do is whisper and they hear his voice. That class of believer is going to do great exploits. And what is so important about that is the Hebrew says, okay, the Antichrist is doing great exploits. And then you have this other group, and those that hear their God do great exploits. In other words, because they could hear God, there was kingdom parity, in that they were both moving in the same level of power, just from different kingdoms. That's what we're destined to do.
That's what we're destined to do. And I sense that's what you are going to be talking about or writing about in Kingdom Priesthood, because, I mean, we're not doing that as a whole, or mostly individuals aren't doing that, right? I mean, we're not running in parity with the kingdom. Am I right?
No, we're not. We're not, because we have never been taught. If you do not know that it's available,
right?
And not only just available. I remember when I was in the military. Okay, they handed me an M16. Now let me tell you something. When they hand you an M16, it's a while before they hand you bullets. Okay. The last thing you want is to hand a guy, especially one that goes on full rock and roll. Okay. Last thing you want to do is, oh, here are 15 magazines full of rounds and here's an M16. Go play with it and see what you can do. That is not what they do. They give you the M16, tear it apart, put it back together. And then we went through classes. Okay. This is what an M16 can do. And I have seen, the M16 be able to do some phenomenal things in taking down the enemy. And then they teach you the basics of marksmanship. And then they teach you how to take a bunker. And oh, by the way, not only is there an M16, here's a hand grenade. And each step of the way, you're building expertise. And at the same time, what I found in the military is there are a lot of weapons a whole lot more powerful than an M16. But those things are only brought out of the armory to the same proportion that you prove, your mental prowess of being able to obey orders and your maturity to hand those type of weapons. And it's the same way in the kingdom of God. Doug, I am fully convinced that right now, because of the way that we have done the body of Christ and allowed the elite to water down our seminaries, water down what's going on in the pulpits, that this generation think that they are wearing the armor of God and they're armed to the teeth on the battlefield, and they are literally stark naked with a pea shooter wondering why they're being wounded so easily.
Interesting. Yeah, I hear this all the time. Put on your armor. Put on the armor of God. And I'm not sure a lot of people really understand what that is. I know they say it. I know that they believe that they mean it, but do they understand it? And that's kind of, I'm looking at all of this. And again, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a minister. I'm not a pastor. So I'm looking at this as a layperson, wondering, okay, you know, what's the, you know, exactly what is that? And, what's the proper way to use it? Kind of like the analogy of your M16 story in a sense.
Yeah, and Paul, actually, when we read the Word of God, the chapter divisions and the verse numbers are artificial. They are not there. Just because you switch chapters does not mean Paul switched subjects. They were added during the Reformation, okay? Simply because it'd be a whole lot easier to find John 3:16 if you actually had an address for it. So when you read the Word of God, ignore the chapter divisions, ignore the verse numbers. Paul, previous to Ephesians 6, goes in this whole teaching of putting off the old man and putting on Christ. When I put off the old man and begin working in those areas of my life to establish Christ's likeness, that is the beginning process of putting on the armor of God. The armor of God will only go where the character of Christ has been established in your life.
Okay, that's the armor of God will only go where the character
of God is established. Right. And and when Paul, no, I think if he wrote Ephesians 6 today, he'd be talking about exo armor. Okay, you know, something beyond, because when he was looking at the Roman soldier, that was the most deadly fighting force on planet Earth at the time. Okay. And the very first thing he started with, he didn't start with a sword, which was a very, very deadly weapon. He started with the belt. And the reason for that, with Roman armor, the way it was constructed, the belt held everything together. Okay. That, you know, if you could literally in combat, if you found a way you could get close enough to cut that guy's belt, his armor would literally fall off.
Oh.
And so the Apostle Paul called that truth, that if we don't start in truth, nothing else can be established. That's why the teaching of the Word of God is so important, and the depth of the Word. You're not going to get it in 20 minutes. I'm old school. Man, in the heat of the charismatic movement, I learned that, you know, you can preach 90 minutes or more. And in fact, at one time in my life, I thought it was my God-ordained responsibility to fill up that 90-minute cassette tape every time that I taught. You're not going to get it in 20-minute doses.
Right.
You know, in fact, we look at Spurgeon's day. And, you know, and Protestantism was growing. Doug, the average sermon was 2 to 3 hours.
Okay.
Because you have got to spend that much time in the Word and hearing the Word of God proclaimed for it to have an effect on you, as well as being able to, you know, it's like what I do in my books, and I do many times in my series, that I need to get you to point, let's say point E. But to get you to point E, I've got to take you, you know, from A to D first. And so there's this road of discovery, because everything in the Word of God is precept upon precept, you know, line upon line. What God is establishing, He then adds to. And if you don't understand the first two or three points, I can't take you to the fifth point and you fully understand or comprehend what God is doing. And you can't do that in 20 minutes.
Exactly. And I call that soak time. The same thing if I'm attempting to lay out a case, all right, which I don't want to compare the two necessarily, but there's a process, and there's, you've got to, in order to get to, like you said, point E, you've got to make sure you have a great understanding of A through D. Am I right? I mean, is that what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, and that's why I use the 80-20 principle. As I'm studying the things of the elite, I study that 20% of the time, and the other 80% I'm feeding my spirit man. I'm getting into the Word of God. I'm listening to good sermons. A quick story that I had one of my old students tell me that he ran across the guy that led him to Jesus. This was probably back in the late 2000s, and the guy had backslid. He was on drugs. His marriage fell apart. And this student was saying, you know, man, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't even be in the kingdom. You're the one who loved me through all these things. And he said, here's what I'm going to do. He drags him to his house and locks him in a room and says, for the next 3 days, all we're going to do, and I've got this course called The Life of Faith from Dr. Lake, we're going to listen to the Word, and we're going to fast and pray. And literally, you know, the guy is stoned out of his midst when he brings him in that room. You know, 3 days later, he walked out of that room sober and back with God and on fire for God.
Wow. 3 days.
3 days, because all they did was listen to the Word, pray together, deal with issues, and fast. And that intense 3 days of staying in the Word and prayer and fasting undid almost a decade of being backslidden and Satan trying to kill the guy.
Exactly. And I'm so glad again that you're talking about this, because in an age of this character limitation, whether it's on social media or in this age of the need to instantly know, I mean, be first, not who cares if I'm right. I just want to be first. Or I want to hear, the information first. It doesn't matter. I'll get criticized. Well, you bring a guest on, you guys talk, that whole thing, you could have, instead of an hour, that could have been accomplished in 10 minutes. Well, there's an element there of understanding that's necessary in soak time, like I call it. I'm sure 10 minutes could have, you could have the Cliff Notes version. But you're so right. So 3 days, that's a marvelous story, by the way, 3 days. And people have to get, I think we have to get back to that intensity, right? I mean, we do, don't we?
We do. You know, and all of us have, you know, a little something here called a cell phone, and you can download and store on this thing a massive amounts of teachings. And, you know, and in fact, with our ministry, about 95% of everything we produce is free. It's either on our YouTube site, and in fact, the old church site, biblicallifeassembly.org, we have probably about 5 years of teaching before we went to video. It's all free to download. And so you can download, you know, the entire series, probably 200 or 300 MP3 audios on your cell phone. One of my favorites, I used to love to listen to Dr. Lester Sumrall. He was a real general in the kingdom of God. You can go to their ministry, and, you know, the series that I used to pay $100 for to get on cassette tape, you can now download an MP3 for $20. Fill up your cell phone with these things, and when fear starts to take hold of you, put on the Word of God to drive it out and begin feeding your spirit from real men that walked with God, that had seen God do extraordinary things in their lives, and begin feeding on what God poured into them. And you'll begin to find out that it begins to change you on the inside. And that's what we need in this day and this hour. We do not need watered down sermons. I think every pastor needs to learn to be a drill sergeant in the kingdom of God, and to not hold back and say, I'm going to love you, and I may have to put you in a headlock as I tell you the truth, but I'm going to tell you the truth, and at the same time, you're going to know that I'm telling it to you because I love you, and I want you to make it in the days ahead. That is the type of ministry that we've got to return to, Doug, in this day and this hour.
Amen. And that's what we're talking about, at least in my view, and Dr. Lake's view, that's what we need. And many Christians are hungry for exactly that. And, you know, it's time. Look, as far as I'm concerned, it's time to take the gloves off. It's beyond time to be coddling people. We need to hit them with straight truth, or we need to be hit with straight truth, because that's, you know, look, time is short. So, and by the way, folks, kingdomintelligencebriefing.com. Go there for the books, the studies, information about various other things. But, you know, do me a favor. Support Dr. Lake in his work. You heard him on this program. Support what he's doing. Do you think he's changing any minds, any hearts, any souls? Yeah, I think so. So there's a donate button on there. Please support Kingdom Intelligence Briefing and, of course, Biblical Life. It's right there. It's right there on the right, as well as on top. Please do that for me. Dr. Lake, I can't believe I feel empowered by your time. And I'm not just saying that. It's so marvelous to hear you speak and to really kind of understand and tie things together. And I'm looking forward to Kingdom Priesthood coming out. You know, if I have to run that to the printer for you, let me know, and I will, to get it out faster. Whatever I need to do, let us know. And folks, you know, whatever, but again, support Dr. Lake. What else in the remaining, 12 minutes we have of the program? I'm going to give you the floor. I mean, it's yours. Tell us what we need to know, what we need to understand, what's most important in these times in which we find ourselves.
You know, number one, as you listen to things, you know, plead the blood of Jesus between your ears and your eyes and what you're seeing, and you start seeing through the veneer. You know, I shared that with you guys years ago when I first wrote my first book, and I've actually got emails from guys, Doug, that say, Mike Lake, you owe me for a TV because I did what you said, and I started listening to the evening news, and I took my boot and threw it through my TV screen. Because, you know, their eyes were being opened. We're in a season, guys, and I mean this with my whole heart. If we will put in the effort, if we will set aside time, one of the first things that we learn in the Word of God is that God set aside the seventh day. He made it holy, or he taught us the concept of sanctified time. You have to sanctify time in your life to be with God. You have to set aside time to get in the Word of God. And we're in a season right now that God is saying, listen, if you will set aside the time, I'll be there. I'll fill you with my word. I will give you a supernatural ability to catch up, because I need you where you should have been if the elite hadn't done what they had done to water down the gospel in America. And so we're in a time of supernatural growth. We're in a time of what I believe is a Josiah generation. This younger generation, when I look at people like Jamie Walden and others, Doug, it excites me because I want them to stand on our shoulders and take this thing to a whole nother level that Steve or anybody else, nobody could have dreamed of what they're going to be able to do if the Lord tarries. And in Josiah's generation, he began to rebuild the temple. He began to in the midst of all that, they rediscovered the Word of God. Can you imagine in Israel, they had lost the Torah, and so they had let the temple of God begin to just fall into disarray. Josiah became one of the greatest kings in the history of Israel. That he drove out the prophets of Baal and the priests of Baal. He turned over their altars and he brought the people of God back to the ways of God. There is a Josiah anointing, especially on the younger generation, that if us older ones, if we'll return and we set the standard and begin walking with God the way that we need to, we're going to see this next generation take it to a whole nother level. And it's going to be that generation, these younger ones that are 20 to 40, that we're going to see that God is anointed to bring renovations back to what should be the body of Christ in the world, and to rediscover the Word of God, and to bring us to the place where the fire of God can begin really flowing in our midst the way that it needs to. And if the Lord tarries, you know, Doug, to be truthful, I'm looking for the Lord's return, probably sometime in the 2030s, and there's some reasons for that. I could be wrong. You know, you never set dates.
Right.
But I have my life that I want to be surprised by rapture than tribulation, okay? I'm personally planning on going through most of the whole thing. I'm kind of pre-wrath. But I've got a lot of friends that are pre-trib, and I tell them, man, if you're right, I will give you a high five on the way out of here. But I refuse to be surprised by tribulation. Okay, I'm determined that I'm going to be here, and I'm going to be working in the kingdom, and my hand is going to be to the plow, and I'm going to have a sword in one hand, a plow in the other hand, until He says, "Yo," then I'm going to go. But I'm not going to be like Thessalonica and wandering around in robes, meddling in other people's business, because the Lord is tearing longer than I thought. I want to be working in the kingdom and doing something constructive for my King so that He finds me faithful and laboring in His field when He returns.
That was powerful. Thank you for that. I'd much rather be surprised by the rapture than the tribulation, is what you're saying. Indeed. And yes, that was powerful. I'm not even going to attempt to comment on that. That's amazing stuff. Dr. Lake, I want to thank you so very much as we close out the program today. And my heart, and I know the people who are watching and listening to this tonight are just so thankful that I'm sure they're thankful that they've tuned in to you and gotten to hear what you've said. And they're looking forward to, obviously, your new book coming out. And, of course, folks, if you haven't done so already, the Shinar Directive and the Sharith Imperative, it'll prepare you. As you said, Dr. Lake, the Shinar Directive sets the stage for the Sharith Imperative, and of course that'll set the stage for your next book, and I think it's very important for people to really to understand all of that. I want to thank you. I mean, you're marvelous. Any last thought in the last minute or so that you want to leave us with?
No, just one of these days I like to kidnap you and your wife and take you out for a steak, maybe, if we ever have a chance. I heard you mention kidnapping. If I'm going to kidnap you, it's because I want to take you guys out for a good dinner somewhere. We are in times that we're going to have to get serious with God like we never have before. And if we get serious with God, we're going to find out heaven's going to get serious in our lives. And that's exactly where we need to be. The best is still yet in front of us. But at the same time, guys, you cannot be a giant killer until you face your giant. And that's where we're at in this day and this hour.
Amen to that. Dr. Lake, thank you so very, very much for your gracious gift of time. I know that people are going to be talking about this episode for a long time. I mean, you were on fire, and you really set some people right, and really spoke to the hearts and minds of many, and I appreciate you. And I'm looking forward to watching you this weekend at the conference, live streaming conference. By the way, what's your topic?
I'm dealing with the cycles of temporal time and how that it can actually be used against the elite, and very possibly some. I don't want to reveal everything, but there are cycles of time to include the compression of time to answer how we maybe have experienced 200 million years in the last 6,000 years.
Oh, okay, that's a must tune into for sure. All right, sir. May God bless you and your wife. Give her our best, and we'll be talking soon.
And we keep you and Renee in prayer every day, brother.
All right. Thank you very much. Wow. Folks, that was Dr. Michael Lake, KingdomIntelligenceBriefing.com. What'd you think of that? I mean, I'm telling you, even more, if you really want, if you like what you heard, and I know you did, and if you thought, wow, he is speaking to me, Shiner Directive, Sharith Imperative, and Mary Lou's book, What Witches Don't Want Christians to Know. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong on those books. And that really will set you up in terms of, or set you up, it allow you to understand why things are happening, why things are the way they are today, how everything was set up. It really answered a lot of questions for me, especially the Shiner Directive, again, preparing the way for the Son of Perdition. And, again, as a Christian, you think you know stuff? Even me, okay? I'm not a pastor, minister, or anything like that, but I think I know stuff. And then I read the Shiner Directive. Of course, I read my Bible, but I read the Shiner Directive, and I'm thinking, wow. So that's what, was meant by insert Bible section here. Okay, now it makes sense to me. And you could tell what a fantastic speaker orator that Dr. Lake is, and his wife is just a doll. A couple things. Tomorrow, Craig Sawyer is going to be joining me. And during the first hour, and we're going to be talking about this movie Contraland. Folks, I want to tell you this as well. There are things that are going on in the background. Dr. Lake mentioned discernment. And just briefly, Craig Sawyer has dedicated his life to rescuing, to saving children from abuse. And I'm telling you, he's done a lot to save children. He's worked in tandem with law enforcement. Russ Dizdar, of course, on the spiritual side. Craig Sawyer on the boots on the ground, although Russ Dizdar has boots on the ground as well. But working in tandem, working parallel, working together, working individually but collectively to really go after the people who, I mean, the bad people. Against child trafficking and human sex trafficking. He's going to be talking about Contraland tomorrow. But the reason I want to mention it now is the fact that there's such a campaign, a dishonest campaign, to take down Craig Sawyer and all of the work that he's done to really malign his reputation and the reputation of his organization. Folks, we support Vets for Child Rescue. We support Shatter the Darkness, their efforts, okay? That's what we've decided to do through HagmanStore.com, our coffee sales. Portions of the proceeds go to those two groups. But the reason I mention that in conjunction with today's program is there is what I've seen, especially among Bible-believing Christians, there seems to be a disconnect, a level of the lack of discernment about what's true and what's not. And I'll tell you this, after meeting with and working with Craig Sawyer on a number of different things, folks, let me just say this. He is the real deal, okay? He has, there are things that he's done on behalf of rescuing children and human victims of human trafficking, that you'll never know. But yet people will come out and say false things about what he's doing. And really, that's the enemy. That's actually doing more harm to the mission, to the entire mission, than not. So I just want to kind of give you a heads up on that. And the reason I bring this out is because if you read something, if you see something, if you watch something or see something on the internet and you say, wow, man, Craig Sawyer did that or did this, or wow, why isn't he talking about, 3,000 or 30,000 or whatever the number might be of children who've been rescued? Wait a minute. From these underground bases or by a task force related to the Pentagon, right? It's because it doesn't exist. And all that does is to undermine the legitimate entities and work and the legitimacy of organizations like Craig Sawyer. So he's going to be on tomorrow, and I would urge everyone to tune into the first hour. And I thank you for that. And please give your thanks to Dr. Michael Lake. And I thank you for your gracious gift of time, Dr. Lake. Thank you so very much. And folks, I thank you for your support, your belief, and your trust in this platform. On behalf of myself, my wife, Eric the Tech, Lady, the studio dog who you heard earlier, Theo, and everyone here at the Hagman Report, may God bless. Good night. We'll be right back.